today's topic, Christ the Mediator in All Ages, with host Pastor Bill Tucker.
Hello there, friend, and thank you for inviting me again into your home or wherever you might be viewing this. We're going to have a good Bible study today, and I hope you're ready for it. We're going to be studying the Search for Truth Seminar Study Guides. And if you don't have this book again, I'm going to tell you that you need it, because we're going to be referring to it on a regular basis. Today we're going to open up to lesson number 2. We're going to be lengthening that chain link just a little bit more with Bible verses that we started in our last study. Our study topic today, Christ the Mediator of All the Ages. Have you ever wondered who Jesus Christ really is? We say He's the Son of God, the Son of Joseph and Mary. But do you know when He began? There seems to be such a tremendous misunderstanding in the religious world about Jesus. Recently I came from a country where I had several say, well, who's Jesus? Who is God? And when did Jesus become involved with planet Earth? Would you like to have the answer to that? We'll look at it right here in God's book, right here, God's holy word, John 17, beginning with verse 4 and 5. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. You see, Christ was with the Father before the world began. From the days of eternity, our Lord Jesus Christ was one with the Father. He was the image of God, the image of His greatness and majesty. And it was to manifest this glory, His character, that He came to planet Earth, to this sin-darkened earth. You see, He came to reveal the light of God's love, to be God with us. That's what it says there in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Now, right now, I want you to take that pencil or that pen, and I'd like to have you write there in the margin where we finished reading in John chapter 17, verse 4. And we're going to write 2CM. You've got it there? 2CM. That's the abbreviation. As we said before, there's going to be several different symbols in our studies. CM means Christ the Mediator. Then you'll put the next text beside it, and that's John 1, verses 1 through 3. And we're going to turn to John chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading the first 3 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Well, it says right here, very plainly, that all things were made by the Word. You ask the question, well, who is the Word? Let's let the Bible tell us what the Word is, who the Word is. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. No doubt about it, friend. It's none other than Jesus Christ who was the Word, who is the Word. He was made flesh, and He dwelt among us. Now we can put down our next verse in the margin there, and we're going to put 3CM, Christ the Mediator, 3CM. And we're going to put our next text beside that, and that's Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. You have it? God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. God made the worlds through his Son as the active creative agent. I want you to see something about this Son. Notice what the Father calls Jesus. Let's look at the 8th verse. And notice something very interesting here. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. What is he saying? The Father is saying here that Jesus Christ is God. Interesting, isn't it? In a council long before the world was made, Christ was foreordained to die in the event of sin. It was planned that if God created beings should sin, then Christ, as the Creator, would pay the ransom. Now, if you have that book, search for True Study Guides. You'll see how to mark the Bible from here on. If you don't have this book, I'm sure you're going to want to ask for it. At the end of our program again today, we're going to give you the information. Now, our next Bible verse I want us to read is found over here in the second chapter of Philippians, and we're going to read beginning with verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He came from heaven. He was equal with God, it says. He became a servant, became a man, and then humbled himself, even was obedient unto death. But let's notice the next two verses, verses 10 and 11. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee will bow to Christ, it says. Well, let's look at Isaiah chapter 45. And we'll read verses 22 and 23. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. The one to whom every knee will bow is called Israel's God, Jehovah, Lord, Savior. That's interesting, isn't it? So now we see who this Jesus is. He is God. Now in Matthew chapter 3, we have an interesting expression that I want us to get established in our minds. That's over here in Matthew chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now who does Isaiah say is going to prepare the way of the Lord? Let's now compare by turning to our next passage here in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. That's chapter 40, and over here in verse 3. Here it says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. You see, he was to prepare the way for the Lord Jehovah, Israel's God, and Christ was their God. When the children of Israel left Egypt for the promised land of Canaan, who was it? I say, who was it that actually led them from Egypt through the Red Sea, through the desert, and on into the promised land? You might say, Moses. But let's notice what it says here in Exodus chapter 13. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. Verse 22. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people. So we find out that the Lord led them, not Moses, but the Lord. Now let's put with what we've just read, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to underline the first four verses of this chapter. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Isn't that interesting? Who was it that led them? Christ was the one who was in that cloud. He is the Jehovah of the Old Testament, the Lord. We can come only to one conclusion, friend, and that is this, that Jesus is Jehovah. Have you ever asked the question, who wrote God's law on Mount Sinai? Well, immediately you say, God the Father. Well, let's see if that's right. Let's go to another book of the Bible in the Old Testament, Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9. And we're going to start reading with the sixth verse. Thou, even thou art Lord alone, thou hast made heaven. And then going on to verse 11, notice what it says. And thou didst divide the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea on the dry land. And their persecutors thou threwest into the deeps, as a stone into the mighty waters. Moreover, thou ledest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go. Now, notice verse 13. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments. So our precious Savior, who died on that tortured stake because of your sins and mine, because of a broken law, was the same God who stood amidst the thunder and fire atop Mount Sinai, who spoke that law to the whole world and wrote it with his own finger on tables of stone. What a Savior. What a God. My Savior. My God. So we've almost concluded that God the Father, God the Son are the same. Oh, no, my friend. They are two distinct beings. For you see, when Christ was baptized, the Father spoke from heaven, and he said this, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You can read it there in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. And again, when Christ was hanging upon the cross, he cried out, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And he breathed forth. That's found in Luke chapter 23, verse 46. So there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. What are we learning today then? I believe that we're learning that God the Son did not wait until he became a babe in Bethlehem's manger to concern himself in some intimate way with the people here of planet Earth. Why, from the very first day of Adam, in fact, with his own hands, God the Son came down and molded and shaped Adam's body. All down through history, our Savior, Jesus Christ, has been God with us. Do you remember the story of Abraham? Do you remember that the angels came and the Lord came with him? Who did Abraham feed, by the way? The angels and the Lord, the Bible says. And that was none other than Jesus Christ. There's a story found over here in Genesis chapter 32 and verse 30. And it speaks of Jacob wrestling with a being, and that being touched his very thigh, and the thigh went out of joint. And it says that Jacob held on. I will not let you go lest you bless me. Well, who was it that Jacob was wrestling with? And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Well, who was he, Jacob, wrestling with? Not other than God, it says. Let's put with that a passage over here in John chapter 1 and verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now, what does this mean? Put with it not only John the Baptist's words, but let's put with it John 6, verse 46, and I believe that we'll have our answer. Notice what it says over here in John chapter 6 and verse 46. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Other than Jesus Christ, no human being, no person has seen the Father but Jesus. Therefore, the God who talked with Abraham, with Jacob, with Moses, was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so many people have the idea that the God of the Old Testament was the Father. And they seem to get a picture that he was so stern and ready to punish at a moment's notice. But what we have found out today is that the God of the Old Testament is the same loving, gentle Jesus of the New Testament. But you might say, in the judgment, what is Jesus doing? Isn't he pleading with the Father to get us to be in his good graces so that the Father will think good of us? Let's take a look at John chapter 16. At that day, ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. Verse 27, for the Father himself loveth you. Notice it says, the Father himself loveth you. So Jesus made it plain, doesn't he? His mediation is not to change God's thinking about you and me, but to mediate the Father's love, to mediate his truth, to mediate his mercy and his justice, his true character to mankind. Yes, friend, God the Father, God the Son loves you with an everlasting love. Don't you ever forget that.